So welcome after the lunch break to the IXP update. We do this from the DNOC program committee. We are doing this now for the fifth time, and the idea of this update was that we as DNOC program committee send out a questionnaire to all the IXP operators within Germany and ask them some statistics and some input about what they're seeing with their IXPs, with their internet exchanges within Germany. It's carried out by the DNOPC, as mentioned, and with that, I'll jump to the next part. We have basically three parts: some statistics, some input from general input, how the IXP market is doing this in the next years in Germany, and then input from every IXP in a short aggregated way that we get an impression what's happening here in Germany in the IXP market. So with that, statistics. The slide set is online, and in the later part of the slide sets there are some more statistics about how many sites, how many traffic, how many peak traffic, how many connected traffic all the IXPs have. In the last DNOCs we always showed them, but this can get a little bit of boring just looking at numbers, so you can do it in the slide sets afterwards if you want to. What we observed in general was that we didn't see that much traffic increase in the 80-90 percentile of the IXPs. There were some bigger IXPs with more traffic peak increases, but mostly the situation was stable. What I want to do is to look on the overall metro peaks, so aggregated traffic from all the IXP operators within one metro. And as always, Frankfurt is very, very, very big. And this is also a feedback to the community and to you as peers at an internet exchange that this is a single point with a lot of traffic. So let's keep Frankfurt out and look at all the remaining metros, where we see Berlin, Düsseldorf, Munich, and Hamburg as the next following cities, and then Stuttgart, and then a slight drop with the longer tail. So if we cut out the top five, the situation would look like this, with Stuttgart leading, and then Dortmund, Leipzig, Nuremberg, Lake of Constance, the Rheintaler X, basically, Dresden, Southost, Niedersachsen, and Bremen. With that short overview of how the traffic is looking in distributed over Germany, let's go to some news from the scene, from the internet exchange market and scene in Germany. So when we sent out a questionnaire before this talk, we asked all the IXP operators some generic questions and then some specific questions, and give them the opportunity to also present some statements here to you in the audience, to give a feedback what IXP operators are seeing or with what they are dealing and what they want to mirror to you. So the first feedback is here from Stuttgart IX, with they would like to see from the CDNs more details on options and requirements. As an IXP operator, you're always keen to try to enable as much peers to your IXP, and CDNs are obviously a bigger player in this IXP market, so it's, in this case for Stuttgart IX, quite hard to get the insights from the CDNs to even know where to talk, who to talk, and how to get connections with them. Big Kicks likes to see more RFC 8950 enablement, so the IPv4 network layer reachability information with the IPv6 next hop, making your network more future-proof. So this is more on the technical side. Now every peer can go home afterwards and look if your router and your software you are running on your router today would suit this RFC already. Franco 9X from Nuremberg they're looking for more eyeball on local IXPs, and we will see it on their specific update later also. Franconix is the newcomer, I would say, in the last 12 months. They entered the Nuremberg area some months ago and really kicked through and have a lot of traffic already on them, but let's wait for the update at the end. And anonymously input was they welcome the work of the Netzbremse. If you have been here in this room before the network, before the lunch break, then you have heard the Netzbremse talk, or you can watch it later online. DDIX developed a tool called IXPECT, and that tool is also online. You can look at it. It's basically a new write of different tools which were in the wild for some years, like ArpWatch, IXPWatch, and Daemon. So feel free to check out the webpage. It might not only help you when you're an IXP operator, but also if you're running bigger layer 2 networks, maybe company networks, enterprise networks, could be also interesting for you. So with that, let's go to the next section, the second section, layer 3 services at IXPs. Normally, the IXP, as we know it in the past, is a layer 2 peering LAN with different peers around. But in the past, the IXPs evolved to more different types of services. The peering LAN is the classic one, which started virtual PNI, like a point-to-point ePipe or VLAN is the kind of second product. There are multi-point LANs over an IXP platform. And then IXPs also started to offer layer 3 VRFs to build virtualized routers for customers. And now we're looking at layer 3 services. I will shortly explain what I mean with that. So traditional, we have a peering LAN, several ASNs connected to the peering LAN. And if two ASNs want to connect to each other, they build up a BGP session. They forward traffic to each other. BGP forwarding is the same path. As this doesn't scale as that good, the Internet Exchanges introduce the route servers. So a peer is peering with BGP with the route server, but the forwarding is directly between the ASNs. So the IXP itself offers a layer 2 LAN and route servers, which obviously have an IP address, but there's no forwarding on the route servers. So now let's assume that this one ASN number 4 here is vanishing from the IXP or never was at the IXPs, but this ASN is interesting because it's, for example, a CDN cache or it's a big access network or whatever. It's an interesting ASN which the IXP wants to keep at the at exchange point in the peering LAN. So what could you do? You could give transit to that ASN 4 by another AS 5. And if that ASN 5 is operated by the IXP and therefore not only having peering sessions in the peering LAN, for example, to the route servers or to the other peers, but then also forwarding the traffic with an IP hop in between. Let's call this a layer 3 service, as the Internet Exchange starts to evolve from a plain layer 2 network to layer 3 services. So we ask the questions, do you operate layer 3 services? And the majority of the IXP operators, 14 answered, gave the answer that they are offering in some kind layer 3 services. Most of them offer in any kind an IP transit service to kind of fulfill their portfolio, what they can offer to the peers. And some do specific paid peerings. For example, Google VPP, Google Verified Peering Partner, which we will look into in the next slides, Liberty Global, DTAC, LGI, and Microsoft Azure Peering Services. Also, BKIX Outreach is between BKIX and other IXP as a layer 3 service here mentioned. So what is the Google Verified Peering Provider thing? There's this very excellent talk from Dave Schwartz from Google at the last Nano conference, which is linked here, where he explains why they are doing it. So what are they doing? Google is reducing their engagement with the IXPs. They're reducing, especially at the route servers. They have left the route servers. They have still some higher volume peers at the IXPs, but all the smaller peers, they try to bring them to the Google verified peering system. So that basically means that Google qualifies ISPs as their VPP qualified peer. And if you are this Google verified peering partner, you can mention it on your website and you can basically give transit to Google. And with that, they want to collect the smaller networks instead of collecting them over the route servers at an IXPs. In the beginning, only ISPs were in this program with Google VPP. Later, also IXPs started to offer this as a service. At least in Germany, we have from 3D Answers that they are doing it. So when we look on that, what does that mean for you as a peer at an IXP? Probably you have less options for smaller networks. You cannot choose different IXPs and transit providers where you get your Google VPP traffic from or your Google traffic in general from. But you would look out for specific ISPs or IXPs who are really qualified with this Google VPP program, and Google can very good control from where the traffic comes to you, which obviously has some impact for you. It also brings the burden for the ISPs and IXPs that they need to follow this program, follow the rules, and following such rules would probably also mean that you are then on a cost-neutral agreement instead of an agreement where maybe the IXP or the ISP could ask for money from Google. So when now the IXP wants to bring back the Google traffic to the IXP, they go through this program, they can establish, as earlier shown, this ASN5 or whatever, and forward the traffic from their Google VPP to, back into the peering LAN, and therefore keep or even advance their Google traffic. And so the statement 3 is a feedback what we got. While the Google IXP peering was stable at this IXP, the traffic which they got from Google VPP went on top. So they even managed to have more traffic at the end on the IXP than before. That just here as a statement, not saying good or bad, but as statements that, what we get from the IXP's operator in the questionnaire. Last but not least, as mentioned earlier, with this shift and the IXPs applying actively for the VPP, they are at the end in this cost-neutral scenario where they definitely do not get money from the from Google. So at the end, the only money which is needed to run the platform needs to be on the B side, so basically the peer on the other side. Google VPP. Then Vodafone. We all heard it in the Netzbremse talk before the break. Vodafone is going away from the public internet exchanges, at least from most of them, as I've heard in the break. So they are withdrawing. They really want to go really away and not offering a Google VPP similar program to a wider range of ISPs and IXPs. At least what the statement is from this week, they are on first doing it through one third-party provider in here in Germany and might expand it to other ISPs in Germany and or worldwide. So in this step, IXPs in general, as stated in the press release, are out of this game here. So I would expect in this case Vodafone traffic would leave the IXPs. Also, again, costs are on the B side, and in comparison to Google VPP, where we are on the neutral, cost-neutral side, the Vodafone peering would be a paid peering, and as I've heard in the lunch break, which I can also state publicly, we are talking about around 3 cents for the megabit in this scenario with the Vodafone peering. With that, I would head to my third part, the feedbacks directly from the different IXPs. The order is that those who answered last are the first here in the slides. We ask basically four questions. What was your highlight? What was your biggest change? The third question, which is not here because there was no answer, is what did you change which has no direct impact on the product, or which is a change which is not directly related to a product? And the last, which is the outlook for the next years, for the next months. So here, Equinix IX, you see the name of the IXP operator on top. We see a link where you can get more information on the top right. Either a screenshot or an image if the IXP operator sends us. So it's an operator. They might operate in different metros in Germany, but we only show one page for every operator here. So Equinix IX highlight, they have published traffic statistics and 11 IX in the 1 terabit club. So not 11 IXs within Germany. Sometimes it's hard to differentiate. Is this specifically in Germany or is this worldwide? We try to keep it locally to Germany, not always that easy to differentiate as the internet exchanges get interconnected globally more and more, and therefore it's harder to differentiate the different statistics. They have a new global German product manager for IXs, and I see Klaas here in the audience, so if anyone has a question to Equinix, we have a contact here. Then NLIX. I have also seen some colleagues from NLIX, but now I don't see them here in the audience. But if you are here, you can wave and people can recognize you. So the highlight was more network stability and then good architecture with Nokia. They are deploying the Nokia Deep Field Defender, and you can download the LOAs while provisioning. This part of downloading LOAs and automation of LOAs I saw in a lot of answers. So this seems to be a topic which was not automated in the past, and I also see it in my affiliations that this is a topic hard to automate. So maybe this could also be an initiative here in the community to make that in general easier. So maybe the data center providers could team up and help us a little bit to make those processes easier. NLIX upgrade all the international POPs till end of year. And with that, NLIX is also in the sponsoring area. You can reach out to them. But with that, we can head to ZoneIX with this very, very nice picture of the countryside where they feel to be at home or have access to their network. They joined the 1 gigabit club. And I think it's important that we get more and more different IXPs in the wider area. They fixed the font rendering on the website. I think that is also very important to mention. And did some route server updates, joined the BKIX outreach program, and they had a DNOC meetup. So if you're also interested in helping DNOC with hosting a DNOC meetup, please write us to event@dnoc.de and we can set a date and try to be also in your hometown. CDN caches are upcoming to new locations in Lower Saxony, so there's something to do. Then, from DKIX, first 800 gig customer last Friday, and the border leaves edges for load balancing the traffic, and they replaced the core routers for saving especially a lot of power. And as we see in general, power costs are more and more a thing. And especially with networking hardware getting better and better, and we have more capacities on higher dense line cards, those things are definitely a thing in our industry. And want to move to more iconic pricing. With that, to DDIX. DDIX started 2 years ago or so in Dresden. They had a very nice opening party, and we have saw the IP expect tool earlier. They are now in a, I think, third POP, and are starting with 100 gig ports and peers, hopefully in the next months. Then Rheintal IX, And you can start waving if you're here and I don't see you. Thomas from Rheintal IX, I talked to him yesterday. He was very happy that they could close the ring around the lake. And he said, as he has said it for years, he wouldn't have come this time here if he hadn't accomplished it. So that's great to hear, a ring around the lake, full redundant underlay for the VPLS, and they became a member of the OrioX Association. So thank you, Rheintal, for making the area more redundant and diverse. Then Dortmund IX and Bremen IX, they merged as the operator of Bremen IX, LWLcom acquired RRBone. So now I need to mention you two both on this one slide here, as we only mention one slide per operator, but no bigger changes in those two regions. So if you're operating your network also in Bremen or in Dortmund, you're happy, we are happy, and they're happy that you interconnect there and bring more traffic and ASNs to the platform. Mega IX, in general, global growth. And obviously, some IXs grow faster, some not. And they try to keep the growth and be big. You can see it in the statistics slides at the end. So for example, Mega IX in Frankfurt is quite big. And look at the statistics for more details. At the end, obviously, what is the value for you at an IXP is always a thing you need to look at. Is it a specific IX? Is it a specific prefix? Do you want to need a long tail? Do you need a high volume? But so those aggregated statistics give only a introduction view for you, and then you need to do your research on your own. Then Franken IX Internet Exchange, as said, the newcomer in the last 12 months. They started in 2024, grew to 600 gig port capacity in a very last time. So that's really exciting and brought a new fresh wind into Nuremberg. A lot of technical stuff they've done, RPKI services, route servers, and so on, and offering more service to the community. That's what they plan in the next months. Era IX was also a newcomer 2 or 3 years ago already, especially in Frankfurt. They upgraded stuff in the direction to Amsterdam. NTT Frankfurt is new, did a lot of automation. And when you're getting bigger and bigger, you need to start splitting metros, for example, and do new renumbering. And they have some nice new Arista switches. And because they put so much information, I made an exemption here and put a second slide for them, because I find this tool here very, very cool. Cleaning fibers is very, very important. And if you as an operator, ISP or IXP, can support your clients with that, I think that's a very nice idea and helps them making interconnection cleaner. Then Stuttgart IX had their 20 years anniversary party and implemented the second course and new site and the first branding in the history of Stuttgart IX. And we are looking for more CDNs and especially a large German eyeball network. With all that, I had the specifics for the single IXPs. I'm happy to take some questions. And if you want to look on more details on the statistics, you can look it online in the slides.
Thank you, Tim. Please make yourself known if you have questions. Like, wave.
André Grüneberg, B6. What happened to our information?
That is correct. I didn't mention you. Then you probably know your answers. Would you be so kind and state your answers in the microphone, please?
Well, one answer was already in the suggestions. Use RFC 8950. We've implemented RFC 8950 support on our route servers. And we implemented a translation device for that. So if you're RFC 8950 only, you can peer with legacy IP peers as well.
Thank you, and sorry for missing you out.
Anyone else? Three, two, one. Okay. I think we're good. Thank you, Tim.
Then thank you all.